How was weekend, man?
It was good. It was. I got some rest. Some.
Got some rest. Yeah. That's good. I don't even know what rest is. Was rest like just normal sleep, or did you take a nap or something?
Basically, I just didn't really go anywhere, and I slept a lot. but it's refreshed.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, you know. What sucks is it's the beginning of another week, but what's cool is I've got a short week because I go on leave on Thursday, so.
Lucky you.
Lucky fucking me, right? And it's, you know, where I live, school doesn't go back in session until the 3rd, I think. The 3rd of September will be my son's first day at school, so I don't get to enjoy any of this leave. Really? This sounds so terrible. But, you know, this is our first summer with him after he had started school, and we're excited for him to go back to school. So I got to save some leave days up for October for San Diego Comic-Con. But, yeah, anyways, good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings with Kyle and Brian. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Brian.
And we have some interesting stories today. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Brian, we've got a couple of interesting stories. One of them is kind of breaking as of yesterday, of last night. Kevin Smith doing He-Man.
Yes.
Like, of all the things, because Kevin Smith had mentioned that he was working on a big property a while ago, and there was all sorts of rumors, you know, is he getting we knew about the Marvel cartoon he's doing. He's doing MODOK, is it?
Something.
Isn't that the one he's doing? Yeah. So everybody's like, is he getting a Marvel movie? Is he getting a DC movie? Is he getting a Star Wars movie? Like, everybody was thinking that. Was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe anywhere on your radar?
Not at all. I had seen him a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And he talked about how much he would love to do The Question. You know, that was something that he's a fan of. As far as in DC. So he's mentioned the fact that there are projects he would love to do. Masters of the Universe, I don't ever recall that being one of them.
Never, ever. Like, I've seen every evening with and several things from conventions, and I don't even think He-Man's ever come up in any of his movies or anything.
No.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. Your history as a child with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, or even as a teenager, adult, what's your liking of that property?
I like it a lot. I used to have the toys. I, of course, watched the old series, the 80s series. I quite enjoyed the film back in the day. It does not hold up, but as a kid, it was something I was into. Dolph Lundgren as He-Man.
Yep.
As far as recently, you know, they had the 2002 animated series. I watched a little bit of it, but I did read a lot of the comics that came out, started, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago. DC was publishing them. So, yeah.
Nice. Me personally, I was never a big He-Man or Thundercats fan.
Blasphemy,
sir. It just
wasn't
my thing. I know. But I was into Turtles and Ghostbusters and G.I. Joe and Voltron and Robotech. Does that make up for it? Okay, there we go. I was even into Speed Racer. You remember when Speed Racer used to be like the late night cartoon network cartoon that would come on? Like, dude, we're talking like early 90s. Satellite and cable, like Cartoon Network's early days, late night, they would show fucking old ass anime. Like this whole Toonami thing people thinks is a modern motherfucker. They were showing Speed Racer back in the day. So yeah. I was into all that stuff. This is the most interesting part about this, okay? It's Kevin Smith, that's great. But the anime angle is pretty cool. What do you think about the fact that it's going to be anime, and specifically that it's going to be the same animating studio that did Castlevania?
Yeah, that's the weird part about this. When you texted me earlier about this story last night, my immediate thought was that it was going to be a goof, like a comedy. Mm-hmm. And then I looked into it, and I'm like, oh, I think they're being serious. I think they're doing, mm-hmm. because it's like, no, it's a continuation. And just they only have the one image, but it looks really cool. And I, you know, they tried a sequel in 1990. It was short lived. I remember seeing a little bit of it. I knew a guy who was a big fan of it, but it was like mostly in space. It was like He-Man in space, mm-hmm. but no, this is supposed to. I think that was supposedly canon at the time, but I think this is doing the whole no. that was not canon.
This is that whole soft yes. reboot sequels that never happened exactly. sequel. This is what that is. But what? How? Like, does the fact that it's Powerhouse Animation, I think, is the name of the company? Let me see here. Powerhouse Animation. Does that add to the excitement Absolutely. For you? Because Castlevania is fucking great.
It's better than great. I think I've said it's, I think, the best portrayal of Dracula, period. It's amazing. Absolutely. If they approach this with the same level of seriousness and goal for telling good stories and, you know, digging into characters, we could have something really cool here.
Exactly. And of course, anytime you attach Kevin Smith to something, I'm at least slightly interested. Whether it's going to be comedic or serious, his comic book stuff has always been great. I'm not a Batman fan, but I read, what was it? What was his Batman story?
Yeah, it's been a while. He wrote a Batman one, and he wrote a Spider-Man.
And he wrote Daredevil as well. Was it Hush?
No, he didn't.
No, not Hush.
What did he did do a Batman story.
God damn it. I gotta look it up, because he had a very specific Batman. Kevin Smith Batman. Cacophony. Yeah. There it is. Yep. And he had a couple other ones, like the Widening Gyre or Gear or something like that, but Cacophony, yeah. Anyways, he's capable of doing serious things, but what really sold me this was the animation studio. I think Castlevania is not only a great fucking well-written show and a great portrayal of Dracula and the Belmonts and everything, the animation is so fucking good. And it's definitely anime, but there's a slight Western flair to it.
Yeah, I agree.
And Kevin Smith with great animation, even though I'm not into the original IP, I think I'm watching this.
Yeah. It's Kevin Smith. Of course you're watching this. And I think that'll be interesting to see if that's a goal also. You know, obviously the cartoon's old, so you want to grab mm-hmm. a newer audience, people that are younger or people that just simply didn't care for He-Man, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's some of the other people that are involved with the writing. Kevin Smith is going to be an executive producer and showrunner. So it doesn't say writing, but I mean, when you're a showrunner, usually you're pretty fucking involved in the writing. We've got Eric Carrasco from Supergirl, Tim Sheridan, Reign of the Superman, Dia Mishra, Magic the Gathering, and of course Mark Bernardin. You know, he's one of Kevin Smith's partners in crime and a lot of stuff, who apparently wrote for Alphas. I did not know that, actually. Or was involved with Alphas, because his name is in parentheses on the Deadline story involving this little Masters of the Universe thing. I do want to quote Kevin Smith. Deadline's got this quote up from Kevin. It says, "I am eternally grateful to Mattel TV and Netflix, I know, right, for entrusting me with not only the secrets of Grayskull, but also their entire universe. In Revelation, we pick up right where the classic era left off to tell an epic tale of what may be the final battle between He-Man and Skeletor, brought to life with the most metal character designs powerhouse animation can contain in the frame. This is the Masters of the Universe story you always wanted to see as a kid. That's a pretty big promise, yes, man.
That's huge. And just based on that one singular little image, I think they're really going to go for it. Instead of calming it down from the, you know, how ridiculous it was in the 80s, I think they're going to go more extreme, more like metal, more over the top with the character designs. At least I hope they do.
Do you think their experience with Voltron, because obviously they got experience, you know, Netflix's experience with Powerhouse and the way they did Castlevania. Do you think the way that they did Voltron, because Voltron kind of did that. It took some of the campiness, carried that over, but it took itself a hell of a lot more serious with Legendary Defender than the old Go Lion Americanized versions. Do you think that's going to play into how Netflix does the show, or at least guide Smith at all?
I hope so. I think the root of all of this was, if you go back to the Avatar animated series, The Last Airbender, which showed, hey, we can do an animated series that's funny, you know, has the comedy, but it's very serious, and, you know, as serious as a drama at times. And it respects the audience. You know, Voltron did that. I don't know about the She-Ra show. I haven't seen any of it.
That one seems a lot more cartoony.
I think so.
Like a lot more.
It has its fans. Maybe I'll go check out a couple episodes. But I don't. It doesn't appear to have any ties to this He-Man continuation.
Well, I know a lot of people are excited for it, and I know a lot of people are saddened by this news as well, simply because the property they hoped Kevin Smith was going to be on is not the one he's on. But for all of you He-Man, all you Masters of the Universe fans out there that have been disappointed because of the lack of movie news, you know, it just keeps like being an eternal development hell. This should tide you over for a while, right?
And should be good. Imagine all the cool toys at next year's Comic-Con from the series.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. That's definitely a big deal. Was there a property in particular that you wish he had been on other than this?
The question. Like I said, I had seen him at a stand-up show, and when he went into his passion for the character, I was like, wow, he could, that is cool. You know, I think that would work. But, yeah.
There was a rumor. It was way out of left field. I can't even remember which outlet stated the rumor that it was going to be a remake of Disney's Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I was actually really sold on that idea. Kevin Smith's Bedknobs and Broomsticks would get me up in the fucking morning, dude.
That would be cool.
Badass.
But
yes. Yeah. So yeah. Oh, well, that's not the only interesting story from this past weekend. We got word about what we can expect from the Loki streaming series coming in 2021 to Disney Plus. In an interview with MTV News, Tom Hiddleston let loose that he's going to be playing Loki for 6 more hours. Now, yes, I guess technically Disney Plus could do 12 30-minute episodes, but let's fucking be real here. These Disney Plus shows are going to be 45 to 55 minute episodes, so basically hour-long episodes. And him saying that he's going to be playing this character for 6 hours, that's telling us it's going to be 6 episodes, right, Brian?
Yeah,
absolutely. That makes sense? Yeah. Me and you have had a lot of discussions about, and that's pretty much the news bit. It's going to be 6 episodes, so we're going to let's discuss what we think about that. Me and you have discussed in depth what we think about the Marvel Netflix shows. You know, what series were too long? All of these shows being 13 episodes, like almost all of them, me and you complained, too long. And we're like, oh, you could cut this episode entirely, cut chunks of these episodes. And I think me and you came up to where it was like 8 to 10 would have been a real sweet spot, right?
Yeah. The Boys is 8.
Yeah, we're on the last episode.
Perfect.
Yeah, it does seem like it's going to be perfect. We got to finish up episode 8. If you'll stop fucking talking to me, I'll get to that. No, I'm joking. It's my fucking show, Kyle. Anyways, what do you think about 6? Do you think 6 is too little, or is it's probably way too early to even guess that, but I mean, what do you think about the six episode? Because I'm guessing the other shows are probably going to be similar in length.
It's better than 13. I'd rather go under than over, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's, we're looking at budget. I know there are rumors. I don't know if there was any confirmation. Has there been on what the budgets are going to be?
Not with these ones. I know Mandalorian, I think its budget was $100 million. So
let's say they're in that ballpark. Or
yeah, I'd guess these ones, since there's more than maybe 60 to 80, maybe.
I could see $20 million, $30 million an episode, maybe somewhere in that ballpark. If you're going to maintain the same level of effects from roughly what we see on the big screen, which I hope that's the goal.
Yeah.
What I don't want to happen, and I don't think they'll do this, is I don't want to be able to watch the show and be like, yeah, that's a show. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, you always refer to bad effects as, oh, that's CW style, because, you know, it's lower budget, but they have big ideas, and this should not be that. I don't think it's going to be, but you know, we'll see.
I don't think so, considering that this is part of Phase 4, yes. Like everything they announced. And I had a commenter on another news piece over the weekend about this. Actually, I think, let me scroll down to the bottom. I think it's on this one. Nope, I was wrong. Different article. Which article was that going to be on? Oh, yeah, that was dealing with Black Panther 2 and Martin Freeman. Anyways, This is part of Phase 4. This is an integral part of Phase 4, like all of these are. I think WandaVision might be the most, since they actually said that one ties directly into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. But I'm hoping 6 is the magic number. I'm wondering if it's all going to be 6, or if, you know, WandaVision, will that one be 8 because there's a little bit more to tell? Will Falcon and Winter Soldier be in the middle? Will it be more? Will it be less? I'm wondering if they're going to stick to a specific formula for these Disney Plus Marvel shows. Do you hope that it's a little bit more fluid and based on each series, or would you like to see a formula set where we're going to get 6 of each or 8 of each or what?
I think we also have to look at production time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So 6 hours of screen time, that's tricky. That's a lot. You know, it depends on the production, but some shows they'll shoot 8 months, you know, depending for 13 episodes. So it's probably going to be 6. It's probably going to be a smaller number. As far as, I just hope they tell good stories at the end of the day. Tell a story. Think of this like a comic trade. You know, you've got 6 issues. Tell a cool story. Clearly, they're going to connect, at least the WandaVision one will, to the films.
And this one is based off of the Loki that escapes during Endgame, which is a very cool idea. Like, I'm really down with that idea versus a regular prequel of saying, oh, this is the prime Loki, you know, in while he was floating in space before Avengers. I didn't want that. Like, I know me and you've discussed it a little bit before. Or is this the Loki you wanted to get?
Yes, and I also think, I mean, look, if they want to, this is comic books. Any and everybody can come back in one way or another. So if that's what they want to do. But no, I think it makes more sense to keep that Loki dead and this be a different Loki. Or the Loki we saw escape.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down with it. I think 6 episodes will be good. 8 to 10 seems to be a great spot for a lot of things. Definitely anything over 10 so far, and not just the Marvel stuff. Other things that I've seen that's just like, yeah, you're going on a little too long. Most of Game of Thrones was 10, right? 10 per season?
Yes.
Most of the time?
10 or 12, was it 12? 10? I think it was 10. Yeah, it was 10.
You know what doesn't need only 10 episodes? You know what needs more episodes and more episodes to come out faster?
What?
Fucking Venture Bros.
Yeah, right.
We used to get, what, like 14 episode seasons, and now we get like a 6 episode. I think there was like one season recently, and by recently I mean in the last 50 years, that was like only 6 episodes.
I've grown to just accept it at this point, and not, you know what I mean? Like, you get glorified movies now, where it's just basically sort of like a 2.5 hours total.
Oh, God. I miss that show so bad. Anyways, one more story to go, Brian. Me and you have discussed video game movies a lot. And by a lot, I mean like twice on podcasts. But in our personal lives, we've discussed them a lot. It was announced last year that Johannes. I don't know. But Johannes Roberts, who directed 47 Meters Down, was announced, and the sequel, 47 Meters Down Uncaged. Ooh, Uncaged. That's how you know it's different. Was tagged to do a Resident Evil movie reboot. And we basically heard nothing else for a fucking year. It was reported by Screen Rant that the film is actually in active development. Here's what the director had to say. "We are in active development of that at the moment. I pitched them a take and they really loved it, so we are just gearing up on that as we speak. Really, I'm in the office all the time there. So yeah, it's great. It's going to be super scary. It's super, super scary, and it's just getting back to the roots of the game. I think at the moment, I'm not really allowed to say much more than that, but it's going to be a lot of fun." Brian, what do you take away from that quote?
I don't know, man. I really don't. I mean, I truly don't think I care either way at this point. I think when they re-released, or they did the remake of the second game recently,
yeah,
that's cool. You know, and it had that old feel to the games. As far as films, none of the other films really captured that feeling, period. Mm-mm. So in other words, if you're going to do a Resident Evil film, it has to take place in a building. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
It needs to take place in the mansion.
Yes, do that. If you're not doing that, I don't think I care. Or a police station. You know.
Or a police station. Yeah, but then you're going to get out into the majority of the city, because it's kind of hard to do it all just in the police station.
It's possible.
It is possible.
Night of the Living Dead? Dawn of the Dead? Well, the first, second and third act of Dawn of the Dead?
I take away when he says really scary, I'm hoping to take that to the bank, because I like the first movie, not as a Resident Evil movie, but as a really cool action zombie flick. It's holds not up. Scary, but it's fun.
It's fun. It does hold up.
When's the last time you watched it?
A couple years ago.
Okay. I haven't seen it in years.
It's surprisingly, Marilyn Manson did the soundtrack. And it's really good. It actually has a good mood to it. The film gives you that sense of dread throughout. It's not scary, but you do have that no hope feeling
while you're watching. It definitely felt like Matrix with zombies to me. The music, the action style, that's what it felt like they were going for to me, is that type of action, Matrix with zombies. I remember really enjoying the film, and that it's a good, solid zombie movie. It just is a shitty fucking Resident Evil movie. Just because you put Umbrella Corps in it doesn't make it Resident Evil. Yeah. So, I hope for a scary movie. I really do. But whether or not we'll get that, we'll see. We'll definitely have to see. Yeah. Do you have any actual hopes for it, though, Brian?
No, not really. And especially I've seen some of that shark movie.
47 Meters Down?
Yeah, I know somebody who was watching it, and I watched a little bit with them, and that's all right.
You know. Yeah, I don't have any real hope for it either. But hey, I'm always down to be pleasantly surprised. Well, anyways, it's Monday. I'm sure people are tired of listening to us yap about, you know, stupid shit. No, it's not stupid shit, man. We actually had some good stories. It was a good weekend for the news. It was definitely. And appreciate you coming on the show, Brian. Yeah. Starting off your day geek, which is like this tagline that I start your day geek. I started that way back when we first started the show, and I never fucking say it anymore. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for starting your day geek here with us at LR Mornings. Now, thanks so much for being on the show, Brian. It's been great having you. I'll have to have you back on again sometime.
Yeah.
In the near future. Yeah. Anyways, make sure you guys are all checking out LRMonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news needs. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the LRM YouTube channel. And of course, be subscribed wherever you're listening to this podcast at. We are everywhere. Google, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud. We're Apple. You know, everybody loves Apple, apparently. We're everywhere. So make sure you guys subscribe to the LRM Online Podcast Network, where you can get great podcasts like LR Mornings, LRM Rakes at Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, and of course, Los Fanboys. You guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. If you want to yell at Brian, you'll have to do it in the comments below. He won't respond because he doesn't really quite know how to use technology. That's what I've discovered. Which is funny because of what your job is, but Brian has no access to defend himself. So by all means, yell at him, troll him, completely rip him to shreds, and I'll be able to laugh at it. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.